Hi everybody, it's Bina 007 here. This is actually a repost of the same episode that we put out yesterday, but hopefully with slightly louder audio. As is the nature of a panel, the audience members who were asking questions were not mic'd up. So if you see a sudden jump in the topic of conversation, that's the reason. It's because I've cut out a bit of dead silence where the question was. Hopefully you're still getting insight from the panel's answers. And so please enjoy.
We're here to discuss, obviously, Yara Greyjoy, otherwise known as Asha Greyjoy in the books. We'll get into that, I think. Yeah, let's introduce ourselves and we'll get started.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's been a great con, so I'm real running on fumes. My name is Amber, but or you can call me Yara because that's who I was the past 2 days. That's my online persona. She's my baby. I love her to death, pretty much.
I'm Simone. I'm just a fan. Is this? Am I coming through? Okay. I cannot hear it at all up here. Also running on maybe a little more than fumes, but it has been a good con. So, yeah, I got a couple of dollars of gas.
I'm Michal Schick, and I'm a writer at HighPipple.com, and I podcast with the Vassals of Kingsgrave, and I didn't like Asha for a while, and then I realized that she was amazing, and now I like her.
My name's Casey. I podcast with Vassals of Kingsgrave, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
So I guess first, like, we should maybe talk about what makes Yara in the show like a standout character, because she doesn't have that much screen time, right? She's relatively minor, but she has a pretty big impact.
Yeah, I mean, she clearly knows what she's doing, and she's also been really primed by Baylon, and has, I mean, she comes from a society that really is very clearly misogynistic. I would argue that most places in Westeros are pretty misogynistic, but the Ironborn are particularly very much so. And, you know, to see her come to power in that kind of a society is so fascinating. And, of course, in the books and I guess in the show, too, with Euron. I like to forget about Euron.
Don't we all?
Show Euron doesn't exist. To see her, like, you know, ultimately in the show become Lord of the Iron Islands is great.
Yeah.
Although I wish for more for her.
Yeah, it's interesting that she kind of balances in that society that is like both in the books it's pretty clear that like to a certain extent the Iron Islands are sort of a meritocracy and are sort of democratic in like a very primitive way, but that just doesn't like translate to women. And she, you know, grew up thinking like, well, why shouldn't that translate to me? And I think that informs a lot of her character, and as somebody who's like who feels like she is a rightful heir to all of the rights that she should have in the society,
and also it is so great for me, like, seeing somebody who is a strong warrior as she is, and having so many of these masculine characteristics, but also still keeping her, you know, femininity, I guess, like with when she's tricking Theon a bit, which is a weird way to use your femininity, but she clearly is sexually open, and I find that awesome about the character as well, and I identified with as well.
That's one of the changes that interest me from show to book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's very much a straight girl.
She's still
in the
very
books,
open sexually.
She's open sexually. Yeah. She's the aggressor. She knows her power, and I thought it was an interesting choice on the show that they made her more into women than versus books, but she is still very feminine. She sought out the other woman that she was with when she was being held captive in the books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She wanted nothing to do with her, but she still wanted that female connection, and I found that softer side of her very intriguing. And she did love her brother.
Yeah, because you see that in the show, too. Like, yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm. So she had a mothering nature to her.
I mean, yeah, she'll, you know, tell him, you know, kill yourself if you don't like it, or, you know, headbutt him, but she still loves him. You know, how siblings are.
Yeah, I know the scene where she, like, comes to rescue Theon, and then just, like, they basically kind of just hit rewind on the scene. It's like, oh, okay, we're back to where we started. Is not a popular scene, but I do like her in that, you know, her reaction to seeing Theon and the horror that's there when she sees what has become of her brother who she left at Winterfell. And it's, you know, that also ties into some of the, like, the warrior culture, right? Because in Westeros in general, I think, but particularly in the Iron Islands, like, it would be way better for her to see Theon dead. Like, mm-hmm. she would, like, it wouldn't be as difficult for her to see him dead as it was to see him in the way that was. And I think it's an interesting kind of process for her in the show to, like, accept Theon for the new person that he is, which kind of parallels his self-acceptance journey.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I think I felt like the show kind of used Yara as, like, something for Theon to, like, to visualize Theon's growth in, which I don't appreciate as much. I really wish that we were able to, like, see her come back to the Iron Islands in season 8 and just, like,
see
that, like, whatever is supposed to happen there, happen there. I'm sure there weren't enough actors left on the island to help her out. you know, I really wish that I could have seen more of her in season 8 and see mm-hmm. her, you know, I assume that because she is ending as the Lord of the Iron Islands, that she will end up as such in the books or something along those lines. But under that assumption, I am really looking forward to seeing, like, that play out, especially since we have her point of view and, can see that come into fruition.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also so interesting to see kind of, I mean, I went into the season, like, and we recorded our, like, you know, predictions podcast, and I was like, Yara's going to die in episode 1. They don't like her. She's going to die in Theon's arms after having been tortured to insanity by Euron, like, as a parallel. And I was, like, hardcore convinced that was going to happen. So, like, the fact that she's alive now, I'm kind of just like, cool. Like, whatever.
This is great. Hey,
like, she's alive and she's not insane. Like, they didn't pull that on her, which is great. But it is, there's something that stands out to me about the contrast between her in the show and in the book, which I really do, like, I like her in the show, and I actually think I can't believe I'm blanking on her name, the actress. Gemma Whalen is really great as her, and
she's so good.
She got a lot of flack, like, when she was cast, because people were like, she's not hot enough. It was like, okay,
what?
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a cisgendered, heterosexual woman, I saw her in those leather pants and was like, damn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's got BDE coming out of
here. Well, it's like that scene when she's with Daenerys and Meereen and they meet, and I'm like, they show that shot of her from behind, from below, and I'm like, okay. I get it. Because Danny was like, oh, okay. It's like, yes, please, please, God, get together.
Oh, God, I ship that so.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
side tangent. Oh, Emilia Clarke has much better chemistry with women than she does with men.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my God.
On screen. I'm not commenting on her personal life, but. I do love her. And it's also funny just about Gemma Whalen, because if you watch her in Gentleman Jack, which is also on HBO,
love that show.
She's so different. She's like almost a Sansa-esque figure, like very prissy.
She's
and like
in that show.
Yeah, she's great. So
I need to watch that.
Yeah,
I will
huge
have
props.
A son, and he will have a better claim to Shipton than you. Oh my God, yeah, watch it. It's so great. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. She's a great actress. But also, there's a picture of her breastfeeding on the set, which is just like, you know what, lady, you just
that.
Get it. You just, yeah.
She's very
like,
open about
yeah.
B-D.
Yeah. Or maybe in that case, B-B-E.
Yeah, she's like got her, from where she's with, you know, been on Euron's boat, and she's like, you can see where she's bruised from the cuffs, and she's got dirt on her face and dirt on her hands, and she's like in her undershirt, and she's like, got her kid, like, sup.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
But she does it out in public, and everybody's loving her for it, and it's been shared all over. So she's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool actress. I'd love to meet her.
But something that I actually want to get your thoughts on in terms of the difference between the show and the book is that, like, I think in the book, what stood out to me, and one of the reasons I didn't like Asha initially is because I kind of wrote her off as one of the, like, you know, like women written by men who can't have emotions because they're strong female characters, capital F, capital C. And George very much subverts that. She does have like a nurturing side. She's very like her friendship that develops with Allison is really, really strong and touching.
Friendship that she forced on her.
Yeah.
You're gonna be my friend. You're gonna talk to me.
But even before that, like you know, she's taking care of the Glover kids. Like Asha in the books approaches war and approaches violence in a very equitable way. Like, she has no interest in visiting any kind of violence on somebody who can't fight back. Like, she, and that's very rare in her society, especially with the Ironborn, with their thralls and all their wonderfulness. So I kind of felt that was missing in the show somewhat, that she was more.
I would agree. So when Daenerys tells them no reaping, no raping.
Yeah.
Her response is, but that's our way of life. Whereas book, Asha, her whole goal in wanting to be the leader of the Ironborn was to put an end to
all the
unnecessary violence that has brought nothing but heartache to their community. She just wanted to create a home for them and a stability for them without being at war and at odds with everybody all the time. Like, we don't need the mainland. And as far as conquering, because what does it get us? Pine cones and rocks.
Yeah, oh, that's such a great speech. Oh.
So, yeah, that was an interesting choice, that they were keeping her more with traditional Ironborn versus what her book self really wanted, was just stability and less violence for their people.
Mm-hmm. And Carl the maid.
Yeah.
Because Carl's kind of feminine, too, so I'm like, I wonder if maybe they used that to switch over to the show a bit, because he's called the maid. That was just the thought
in
I
the
had
show
later.
Maybe they just skimmed it and thought she was he actually is a woman.
You never know. They could have.
I think that it's really interesting that she was allowed that power, and I don't want to use the word allowed, but encouraged by someone like Balon Greyjoy, who is the worst as far as being a father goes.
I honestly think, though, that it's more related to a, like, strong, like, these are my genes being passed on, and I need somebody, like, that's in my family to pass on this legacy, and his only option is Asha / Yara. And I think that his reason for doing that might be more self-centered.
Yeah. Some, like, radical egalitarian or anything. He's just, like...
Yeah, Theon's half Stark, essentially, so he's like, no, not you.
And, I mean, doesn't she even say, or he says that, like, you're my son, you just don't have a penis. Like, it's...
Basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not unself-serving for him, but it does a...
Yeah. It's like, when you rule the Iron Islands, you can have peace.
I mean, in this context, it is kind of a
power. But it puts her, like, positioned. And it wouldn't mean anything from him, even if nobody else was willing to get on board and follow her. Mm-hmm. And I honestly believe she would have won the King's Moot had Euron not shown up with this crazy display of magic and cuckoo-ness. Because she was a good talker, and she backed up her talk, and then she did the smart thing and got out of there. Whereas a lot of people would have just like hung around to see how things fell out, like, well, I lost, so she was like, no, screw that, oh, you married me to somebody?
She's even doing the politicking behind the scenes, because she's trying to make, you know, when she realizes that her argument is not enough to sway the men who are voting, she tries to make a deal with Victarion, right? And then he...
But he's a blockhead, so...
Yeah, and then he's like, she wants to marry me, and then that...
I'm sad.
Poor me, I killed my wife. It's all Euron's fault.
Pretty much.
So sad. So, not the Victarion panel, but...
Definitely not.
The Ironborn are problematic.
Is it problematic in Westeros?
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. But it's interesting that in, you know, we don't get Yara or Asha's point of view until dance, right? Until.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And until then, we're relying on like objectively misogynist people to like Theon when he's Theon and talking to her, like he's
when they first meet,
not enlightened to say the least. Yeah. Yeah. And God. You know, and then we have Aaron, and then we have Victarion, and they're all dunderheads, and very like
pretty much.
Yeah. So it's very interesting that George kind of picked that route to explore her. Because, you know, like Aaron watching her speech at the Kingsmoot is like not on board. He like doesn't even really think she should be allowed to get up and make her claim, if I recall correctly.
Yes. Yeah.
And,
yeah. No place for women.
Yeah, yeah. No woman may sit the sea stone chair or whatever, along with godless men and whatever. But yeah, it's an interesting mechanism for George to present this character. And I don't think the show did a terrible job with her. Like, there's nothing that Yara does in the show that I remember being like, contrary to Asha's character, but I don't really think that nuance is there.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that. I know that there was a lot of flack for that brothel scene between her and Theon, and I got it.
I mean,
you love this person, you want them to be whole, you've seen them make steps and then fall back, and it's the point of frustration. I just want you to be you, and you just kind of lash out.
She probably never really grew up with any kind of comforting, too. Oh, no. Or like, oh, sweetie, you're all right. We'll help you out. It's like, damn it, come on, be you.
Yeah. I would.
But then you see later on the boat with Ilaria, when she's picking on him, leave him be.
Yeah.
She's like, no. So it's like your family. I can talk about my family, but don't you dare.
Yeah.
I will hurt you.
That's pretty much what she does. She's like, you know, headbutts him and then is like, all right, come on, let's get up. Let's go.
And she never gives up on him, which is, I think, a very touching thing.
Yeah. I would say, books-wise, by Feast and Dance, I'm like, who are these people and why am I reading about them? I don't care. But I would say, for anybody who struggles with those books, they're a slow burn. You have to digest them. And I will say that the Asha character is what made me appreciate the books. I was like, well, I want to know more about where this is going. She's intriguing.
Really, the Dorne chapters really and the Ironborn chapters in those two books, like, are really what will make me reread them.
Yes.
And just getting Asha's point of view in that whole thing is great.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they were never technically conquered by Aegon.
Yes. Yeah. Unbowed, unbent, unbroken. Yes, I am a true Dornish. Yeah. And I always say the Greyjoys are trash, except for Yara.
Okay, I was getting ready to be like,
she redeems the Iron Islands for me.
I would agree.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's interesting because I don't think the Ironborn are 100% aware of their power in that way. I think actually Asha is one of the more. I don't think she ever thinks about it explicitly, but she definitely has a sense that there is maybe more bargaining. Like, they could take over a part of the mainland and just be like, hey, we're here. We're not going to go any further, but this is us, and, like, we're staying here. But, like, I don't get the sense that the men are – like, Balon's just usually like, oh, I'm going to take it all, you know, whatever, or be independent or whatever. And the rest of them are just kind of like very myopic and focused on the cycle of reaving and like subsistence.
This is all we've ever known. This is all we're ever going to be. She has aspirations, not just for herself.
Yeah.
And even
but
when
her
we've,
people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love like seeing her like through Theon in like the first chapter and even through the show, like, you know, it's totally obvious how much he has underestimated, like, how, like, much of an Ironborn lady she is, or warrior she is, because she can clearly master ships and stuff. And, you know, Theon's like, where do I park my horse? And I don't know, I can't use horses here.
That's funny, I like that.
And, you know.
In a really bad room. Oh, listen, he's a wolf.
He's
not a Kraken.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of was
Yeah. But I, you know, even through that chapter, you can just see how much, like, she has grown into being, like, the successor of the Iron Islands at that point. And at that point, we also really don't know about Euron and Victarion, mm-hmm. other than maybe they were mentioned in the books. and it's, yeah, it's just, it's really good to see that it's there.
Yeah.
Why do you think Yara is the only person that we really know of in the Iron Islands who wants or sees a reason to change their lifestyle?
Women's intuition.
Yeah, I was about to say because she's a woman.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it's like more than an intuition. It's the fact that she's coming from a perspective that is not given, you know, the normal Ironborn way of life, right? If you're like a strong guy is, or even like a middle of the road dude, it's like, okay, so you get to go reaving, your life kind of sucks, you live on a ship, you know, there's no arid land, there's no security, but you get yourself a salt wife, and then if you take that salt wife, you earn that salt wife and she's yours, and then, you know, it's kind of like this like self-interested cycle. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Asha just would never have had an into that anyway, so she just kind of finds, you know, and because she's obviously royal, so she has a higher perspective. So, but I do think she is inherently more interested because of her.
Yeah, it's the balance between being a warrior and being a woman. Mm-hmm. Understanding, I need to fight, and I need to fight for what's mine. I need to fight for what's my people's, and
that I can fight
of my people, and I can fight. But there needs to be stability. There needs to be some structure so that we're not spending all of our time reaping and raving and only getting enough to make it through the day.
Yeah, and
she's got future sight more than just today.
And
she's
also thinking ahead. Sorry, yeah. I keep on interrupting you. and I also think that she probably has seen Balon's like struggle. Probably not regret, but like. Him thinking about how, like, you know, he lost the Greyjoy Rebellion. Most of his sons have been killed, if not, like, you know, Theon is, like, not there, is not an Ironborn.
He technically lost all three sons, like he says in the show. He's like, I lost two brothers, I lost three sons.
And she, you know, she's old enough to remember, like, Theon kind of has somewhat hazy memories of his brothers, but Asha remembers her brothers, and she also remembers, she knows intimately the impact on her mother that this experience has had, losing her sons and kind of being stuck as a woman in this cycle. And nobody cares, you know.
So why do we think they kept the mother absent? Yeah, there's no even mention of the mother in the show. Versus we know she's very much alive in the book.
They do mention her one time.
Do they?
When she's at Winterfell talking with Theon, telling him not to die so far from the sea, she's like, we both loved our mother. We both endured our father. That's literally the only thing.
And they suggest that she's dead.
Yeah.
And she's not.
No.
She just can't take it.
I mean, to be fair, she's not a very prominent character in the books. She shows up in like one scene, I think.
Yeah, but I think that's also motivation, as she was saying.
Right. It's true. Seeing Yara go to see her mother and really seeing that like dedicated, I like soft, I think is the wrong word, but like empathetic side of her, that would have been a really nice thing in the show. Also, you know, there was room in season two, one might argue, for something like that. Mm-hmm.
So jumping to the end of season 8, and this was a very big frustration for me at the Grand Council, the Great Council scene, and the fact Yara never brings up the fact that they're free.
Uh-huh.
They were promised freedom. She's angry at Jon Snow for killing Daenerys because they promised to follow her, but isn't mad that she's no longer granted her independence. So
maybe by not bringing it up. I mean. Maybe by not saying something, she's like, all right, if I don't say anything, maybe they won't remember that. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like...
That was annoying.
I kind of feel like that's like just another one of those, like, oh, they're not going to remember that Yara's doing anything.
Well, you see, we kind of
forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh. The meme that keeps on giving.
Yeah. I mean, it's so frustrating, and like, I can see that kind of a scene playing out in the books, and like that being like a like discussion for like days and days. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we gonna do, and like, how are we gonna fix this, and like it.
And do you think that she would really have that much skin in the game at that point, that she would even show up and care?
I do wonder in the books, like, what Euron's going to do and, like, how powerful they will seem at the end. So I think that will play into that role. But I don't know. And I don't know, you know, with all the rebellions that they've had, I don't know if they will let her as a Greyjoy.
The thing is, I'm not convinced that the Ironborn aren't independent now.
Yeah.
Because they weren't officially one of the Seven Kingdoms.
Everything's kind of chaotic right now.
Yeah, and they do have that that promise is never reneged upon by the council. So possibly she's kind of chill in the council because she's like, well, we're just, I mean, I'm doing this anyway. And it didn't, the writers didn't think to highlight that.
They didn't think.
Book Asha versus Show Yara, do we think, knowing what happened, that she would care as much about what happened to Daenerys versus she had to go?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, if they, it just depends on how much they want to piss off Asha or Yara, having just lost their biggest kingdom of the Seven Kingdoms and having a, you know, it's painted in a fairly rosy light, but like, let's face it, that the kingdom is, you know, it's like this strong right now. So like, you know, I don't, if she has the military power, like we were saying earlier, then I don't know that. Oh, but they can just build ships.
Yeah. You saw all the trees on the island. All those trees.
Yeah. Need a fleet.
Right.
Yeah, that made me so mad. I was like, good for you, but.
Yay.
Damn it.
I personally don't think she would have had so much anger and vitriol for Jon.
Right.
For having saved the Iron Islands, Winterfell, Dorne. I mean, she was going cuckoo bananas and was going to burn everyone.
But actually, did she see that? Yara didn't.
She didn't really see it, but there were enough people there that saw it, heard it.
But at the same time, though, I can imagine her being like, and I think a lot of this is just like narrative economy, and they're just not dealing with it. A lot of the time, Yara in the show does what is required by the plot.
Unfortunately,
yeah. But I could see her being like, okay, so yeah, it was real tough, and she took over her enemies, and she won, and then a guy murdered my main female ally, who is about to be queen. You know, like, I, from her perspective, I could see that being a thing. I don't know. I personally think her trajectory in the books is going to be vastly different. I think she's probably one of those characters where the end is not the same. I actually think she's pregnant with Carl the Maid's child at this point, and that's going to play into the heir of the Iron Islands thing later. Well, you know, the way I like to think of it is like, you know, they have this like crazy sex scene, and then she's like, gotta brew that moon tea, and then Stannis shows up, and she's like, gotta go fight Stannis, and then she's captured, and it's like, never brewed that moon tea, did you? So
she took what was hers with fire and blood, and that's what the Ironborn do. They just do it a different way. They take what is theirs.
I think that's my struggle with that. She does have that Ironborn nature, but she's also got this softer, gentler side to her that really isn't all about that.
Yeah.
So I think that's my struggle in deciding on how she would actually have reacted in that situation.
And I feel like a lot of the stories, especially at the end of the show, kind of show like you're very true to your
family.
But I think that in the books, at least right now, it seems like, you know, there's Euron and Victarion in play here who really like portray the Greyjoy mentality, whereas Yara is a bit contrast to that. And also, I guess Euron is a bit contrast because he's a little weird. But
I think that's actually a really good point, because I don't think we have that kind of like Ironborn standard. We have it a little bit in seasons 2 and 3 in the show with Baylan, but we don't have like the deep culture of the Iron Islands that we get in the books. That Asha does act as a very strong contrast to. You're right. So I think that maybe like she is just doing the Ironborn thing because she's the only one. I don't think Euron even counts, honestly. In the show, I don't see them as being like, here, like Euron's like representative of the Ironborn. I think they're just kind of like, yeah, they're just kind of like, you know, chaotic evil spirit in there who's like, you know, right, chaotic evil pirate sprite man.
I'm the man who killed Jaime Lannister.
That was a brick.
Directly into the camera.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has a line that, like, the infant Glover, that she's, like, talking to them. She's like, that baby better not die. Like, there'll be hell to pay if that baby dies on your watch. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, that is so representative of who she is. Like, she's an Ironborn who values life. And because the Ironborn life is so about the iron price and about, like, material things and kind of, like, who spills more blood. It's, yeah, she's really a beautiful contrast because also she's not Ironborn. Like she works as an Ironborn. She's just like an enlightened Ironborn.
Yes. Yeah. I hated that.
But she just sat there passively. Yeah.
Sorry, thing, I've done that like 5 years.
You're on.
Another thing I didn't like is that, you know, Theon died for the Starks. Okay, I can understand that. But they didn't send his remains to the Iron Islands. Because for them, that's... Because it's like Jon told him in season 7, you're a Greyjoy and a Stark. So perhaps you died with one family, be laid to rest with your other family. That was the way I kind of saw it.
Don't die so far from the sea, yeah. Theon. Don't know.
And
don't,
he did.
You know.
The thing is, to me, that would have been more... I hadn't really thought about that, because I do find the funeral scene very moving, and Sansa putting the wolf pin on him.
I was crying.
But definitely. That was kind of like, man, those scenes before they leave are like the last good scenes. I think that Theon's death in, and not to make this about Theon's death, but like his death was not as, like, Alfie Allen sold it, but it was kind of like,
he's so good.
It doesn't matter if one more person charges the Night King. Like, it's completely irrellevant. And like, and then you later find
fall
out
back,
that, like,
bro, fall back.
Yeah. And apparently Bran knew. It was just like, oh, no, you go do that so that Arya has time. It's like, oh my God, this cold-blooded.
Like, he could have just stood there next
fuck.
To Bran like, and like, yeah.
But this is not the Theon podcast.
Or the Bran. But I
don't you think she would have cared more about what happened to her brother?
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the
and
thing.
And that would have been even more motivation for her to speak up when Sansa pipes up that we're free and we're independent.
Well, also, they both that probably her. Happened. Oh, I'm also, sorry.
No. Unless, in her mind, when he is like, I need to go fight with the Starks, she is like, that's in her mind, like, the goodbye, and anything they get after that is
that's true.
Extra.
Because he was like, I'll do what you tell me. You're my queen.
Yeah.
And she was like, all right. So she cared enough about him to be like, all right, I understand this.
But again, we have to do a lot of work in this area as fans.
But it also made me mad, too, at the end when Sansa and Arya are both going after her. And I'm like, you essentially had the same brother. Come on. Don't be fighting with each other.
No, women have to fight with each other.
Oh, God. It made me so mad.
I'll get you next, but in the back in the room. All the more reason not to have that animosity towards their brother to the point where Arya is threatening to cut off her. I mean, these are just dots that weren't thought about, let alone connected.
Mm-hmm. So much of that doesn't make any sense in terms of just like, why didn't Grey Worm like literally murder Jon right then?
Right,
like,
yeah.
I don't know why he's alive.
He killed her.
To say nothing about the fact that Drogon is like, you know what, man who killed my mom, that's fine. Chair.
Oh my God, that.
But other than that, a lot of the fact that we keep talking about this is the fact that it's just not super well written, and there's a lot of mental work that we have to do to make it fit. But I do think it would have been a little bit easy if nobody had been like, hey, Jon Snow, like, we're kind of pissed off that you killed the woman that we decided was going to be queen. Like, I think somebody had to do that. I don't know that it necessarily makes sense to be Yara, but she was the person who was, like, the most enduring connection that they had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly think that they just, like, made that, like, whole gap just to, like, show that Tyrion's beard grew out. And that's how we know the time's passed.
Yeah. It's possible.